Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for Zchus, for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos, Daf Pei Hei, and we will begin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. It says, Gemara Yema Bachusha, Hav Masei Zuzei Bahu Gavra. Yema Bechusha was somebody owed him money, Shachiv, and that person passed away. Shavik Arba, and the person who passed away left over a boat. Amalei Lishluchei, so Yem Bechusha told his messenger, Zil Tafsi Nili, go please seize the boat on my behalf to get back the money that's owed to me. Azal Tafsa. And the shliach did as he was instructed. Pagabei, Rapapa v'Rafuna b'Reid Yeshua. And he met Rapapa v'Rafuna b'Reid Yeshua. The shliach met these two Amorim, Amalei. And they told him, At Toifes l'Bal Choyv, b'Makam Shechav l'Achrim, there are other individuals who are owed money by this person. And the halacha is, They said, "Vam Rabbi Yochanan, a toifes bal choiv, somebody who seizes something on behalf of somebody else, but makom shechav lacherim, where there are other people who are owed money, loikana. The halacha is that is not a valid seizing. You can't be a shliach, but makom shechav lacherim, and the tfisasoi in tafsa inu, and therefore they themselves were able to seize the boat, because they too were creditors to whom Yem Vachusha asked. So Taifas learns the Gemara that Taifas, if you see something on behalf of someone else, but Makam Shechav L'Cherim, where he owes when that individual owes money to other people as well, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid shlichus. And what we see from here, says Taifas, that this halacha applies even in a situation where you were appointed to be a shliach. Even in a case where you were appointed to be a shliach for this purpose, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, Tosfos asks a question that actually the Gemara Rashi, Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Havei, he says that this halacha, HaTosfos L'Bachoyv, that the tfisa is not considered a valid tfisa, as Tosfos, was only said in a place where I wasn't appointed as a shliach. Because, as we're learning in our Gemara, I cannot act as a shliach when it's going to be to the detriment of other people. But if I was appointed as a shliach, so it's obvious that I am an extension of the person who sent me. And since I'm an extension of the person who sent me, why can't I do that on his behalf? So there's a fundamental question, how to reconcile this Gemara with what we learned in Masechta Baba Metzia. So the Shita suggests that there's a difference in how I was appointed a shliach. If I was appointed a shliach in a very strong way, and that means that I was given a hashah, I was given a letter of appointment, then a shliach could be taifas on behalf of Baal Chayiv, even if he's just a shliach. However, if he wasn't appointed as a shliach with a hashah, with a letter of authorization, that is not going to be effective. Another teretz that the Tosfos HaRosh suggests is that they told him this excuse, so to speak, that you can't do this, was only because they wanted to be able to seize it on their own behalf. And that's why they told him this, even though it wasn't technically correct. Of course, the difficulty with this teretz is that means that they said something which wasn't true. And it's hard to accept that these Tanoim said something which wasn't true. So the Shita says that it's not technically something which isn't true, because the halacha is hatayfus l'balchayif, that if you see something on behalf of something else, b'makom shechav l'cherim, where other people are owed money, the truth is that it is not valid. It's only because you were appointed a shlich that the halacha changes. So since they didn't actually say something that's not true, it's not not technically a lie. The shita gives another teretz. He says there's a difference between what type of shliach you are. He says if you were appointed as a shliach specifically for this role, you were specifically appointed to pick up this on behalf of the mishaleach, then that's not an issue. What this shliach was, he was a shliach that in general he helped this person, but he wasn't specifically appointed for this job. Since he wasn't specifically appointed for this job, that's not what the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia says is not an issue. Another teretz that the Shita suggests is that he wasn't appointed as a shliach in front of Edom. And the only time you would be considered a shliach that is not an issue is only if you were appointed in front of Edom. He wasn't appointed in front of Edom. Says the Gemara, Rapapa Mimlchim Luchei. So now Rapapa did a kinyan. Rapapa of Hunabar Yeshua, because they got the shliach to back off, so they did the kinyan. The question is, how did they do a kinyan? So says the Gemara, Rapapa Mimlchim Luchei, he pulled the boat by its ropes. Rav Hunabar Yeshua Mamtechle Ba'afshla. What he pulled it by the first one pulled it, just made the ship move, and the other one pulled it by its boat. Ma amar no kinyan l'klula. Each one now started debating whose kinyan was a stronger kinyan. Ma amar no kinyan l'klula. My kinyan was a stronger kinyan, or ma amar no kinyan l'klula. My kinyan was a stronger kinyan. Which is a stronger kinyan? Because moving it by its rope is a kinyan meshicha. Moving it by its meshutim is a kinyan chazaka. And we had here what is a stronger kinyan. They had a debate here. What is a stronger kinyan? A kinyan chazaka or a kinyan meshicha? Pagabu, Rav Pinchas bar Ami. So Rav Pinchas bar Ami met them. Amaluhu, Rav Shmuel d'Amri Tavayu. Going back to what we discussed in our previous shiur, in order to be able to seize the assets of someone, they have to be with their yorshim. You have to be able to make a kinyan before they made the kinyan. So he said that these kinyonim that were made by Rav Papa and Rav Hunabar Yeshua were done in the Rishus HaRabim. Amalei, Anan Nami Mechrafusa Defisnu. I didn't do it in the Rishus HaRabim. We did it in the side of Rishus HaRabim, and that's why the halacha is, and that's why the tfisa was valid there. Asla kamei derava. So after this back and forth, the Gemara says that, in other words, what Rashi is saying, that at the time of the death, that they did the tfisa. When at the time of death, the boat might not have been in the Rishus Rabim, but at the time that they did the tfisa, it was in Rishus Rabim, and that's why it was valid. Also, kamei to Rava. So now Rav Papa and Puna came to Rava. Amalu kake chivri. So he used a very sharp language. He called them old geese. So many Mefarshim take exception. How could have he called them such a derogatory name? So Kiva Eger actually says that it wasn't a derogatory name. Avzi are geese, and geese were considered very smart. The Gemara Masechta Bracha says, Haroi Avaz B'chaloyim. If somebody sees a goose in his dream, Yitzapa L'chokma. He should assume that it'll be very smart. And therefore, it wasn't a derogatory term. Mashalcha glima demshi. And he also said, you're people that take off the coats of other people. That means you're taking away what doesn't belong to you. Achem Rav Nachman, v'husha tafsa mechayim. When would such a tfisa be considered a valid tfisa? If they did it before the person who owed them the money passed away. But if he already passed away, we go back to what we've been discussing in our shiurim, the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, where we learned Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfin, where Rabbi Kiva holds that it becomes the property of the Yorshim. Since it becomes the property of the Yorshim, it's too late for him to have done any tvisa. And we paskin, they said, Rava said, like Rabbi Kiva. So what you did was too late. Says the Gemara, a similar episode. Says the Gemara, Vimi Berei Ravua have a mask Bezuza Bechazoi. The people of Bechazoi were asked, said that Avimi Berei Ravua owed them money. Shadrinu, so Avimi sent them the money, Biat Chame Berei Ravua. Ozlo Perenu, and he did his job, he paid off the money that Avimi owed. Amalhu. And then Chama said to those people, "Havalish deroy." As we know, the halacha is that when you pay off your debt, you get back the shtar, you get back the loan document, and we rip it up to Amrle. So they told him, "Sotroyninhu, this money that you paid us back is not for the chayiv of the shtar. There were also chayivs that were ba'peh. There were oral loans." And this money that you paid us, we're taking for that loan, but we're not taking for this loan. Also, kamei de Ravua. So now Avimi came back to Ravua to ask him what is the halacha. So Pasha Pshat, he couldn't have gone to his father for din Torah, because obviously a father is disqualified to be the dayan for din Torah for his son, but some say, so he just went, the Pasha Pshat, is that he went to ask him a question, how should we look at this situation? However, there are Paiskim that say that if the both sides accept even a father of one of the sides as the dayan of the Torah, it's acceptable. I also saw a different Pshat, that since Ravua was the Rav of that city, so he is appointed to paskin all Dinei Torah, and he may even be allowed to paskin the Torah that affect his son. Amalei, Sir Ravua asked Avimi, Islach Sarahadi the Pratinu, do you have Edim that could back up your claim that you paid them what they're owed? Amalei, so he said, Loi. Avimi said, there were no Edim. Why is the Shliach that paid it up not trusted as an aid? Obviously, because he was in the gay by this. Because as we're going to be learning the Gemara, that he may be held responsible for what he did, that he didn't get back the shtar. And therefore, he can't be the one to tell us what happened. Amalei, so therefore Rav Avuah said to his son, since these people could technically say that we never got paid, there are no edim that you paid back. They could say, Yecholim Nami Lameimer, so we trust them with this migui that they could say, Satrananu, that this is being paid, that this money that we received was for another loan. And since they can make that claim, therefore we're going to have to believe them, because they could have said that we weren't paid altogether. Says the Gemara, now that this shliach sort of didn't do his job right, that he didn't take the shtar before he got paid, does he have to repay Rav Avimi for having caused him this damage? Amar Vashi, Chazinan, we have to see how he was appointed to do this job. If when he was appointed, he said, Shkol Shtara, take back the shtar for the money that I'm paying, and then v'hav zuzi, u'mishalim, and then pay back. Therefore, so he didn't fulfill his shlichus. Hav zuzi, but if he told him hav zuzi, he'll have to pay because he deviated from what the job he was appointed to do. But if he was told hav zuzi shkol shtara, first you could pay them back, and then take back the shtar. which is what he attempted to do, then loy mishalim, he will not be held responsible. Says the Gemara v'loihi. And this, says the Gemara, this distinction that we just made is incorrect. Benkach and benkach, under all circumstances, the shliach has to pay back for this mistake that he made. Damalei, because the owner, the person who sent him, could tell him, L'skunisha datich v'loy v'lafsi, I sent you to do the job, to do for me something which is positive. What you did here was negative. You shouldn't have done, the way you did it was done completely wrong. And since you did it in a way that's completely wrong, you should be held responsible. You should be held responsible for what we did. So here the Gemara explained that since they could have had a migui, that's why the belief. So the question is, why couldn't they say it without a migui? They're claiming that their old money, both with a milva b'shtar, both with a milva that's in a document, and both with a milva apeh, and they are making a claim that what we got paid for was for the milva apeh. Why do they need to have the migui? So the Rosh says that a person normally pays off the chayvis that are in a document than a chayvis that are b'apeh first. Because as we often discuss, a chayv and a shtar is a much stronger chayv. So unless they have a migui, they would not have been believed. The Baal Trumas says the reason is because aim sofik meitzvidei vadai. If we know for sure they were paid up, and the person who paid up says, I paid it up for the shtar, the only reason that the people who are making the counterclaim could be believed, he says, because they have a nigui. So the Chorinim ask that why the Malva could say that he owes more money because he could have said that I never paid it up altogether. So he says that the nigui only helps for him himself. It doesn't help for anybody else. Says the Gemara, itasadav mifkadei meluga d'shtara. There was a woman who had a stack of loan documents that somebody had asked her to hold. Also Yarshim, and then this person who had asked her to hold these documents passed away. Also Yarshim, so his Yarshim came and katavaleminei, and they asked for their shtaras back. Amrlu, so the Isha told them, mechaim tefisnulu. I already seized them because your father owed me money, and I'm not going to give you back the stack until you pay me back first, satisfy what I am owned from your father, and therefore only then will I give you back the shtaros. Says the Gemara, Osla Kameder of Nachman. So this woman and these Yarshim came to Rav Nachman for the entire. Amalah, Islach sadit davinim enoch mechayim v'lo yahavas nalei. So Rav Nachman asked this woman, do you have edim that the person asked back for the stack of shtaris while he was still alive and you didn't give it because you said tfisa? Amar loy loy. So she said, no, I don't have edim that happened. So it says, imkein, if that's the case, what happened here? Have a tfisa lachem chayim. That means that when the tfisa take place, only after the person died. And we're following, as we keep on repeating in our shiurim, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the tfisa lachem isa lav klumhi. Tfisa after death is not going to be valid. Says the Gemara, he itasa dachai v'shvu beidina derava. There was another episode where there was a woman who was obligated to make a shvua in the bezdin of Rava. In other words, what happened was, there was somebody who came to this woman and said, you owe me money. And she said, I don't. And Rava said, you need to swear that you don't owe the money. Amalei, Bas Rav Chisda, the daughter of Rav Chisda, who we know was the wife of Rava, told Rava, Yodanabei the Cheshuda Ashvua. I know that this woman is not an honest person. And since I know that she's dishonest, you can't make her make the shvua. Because the Gemara in Masech the Shvua says that if a person is dishonest in shvuas and they're in a din Torah, where they have to normally swear. If they're the dishonest party, we turn the din Torah the other way around and we tell the other party to swear. How do we know that she's a dishonest person? So Ritvos, quoting the Gaonim, says that his wife, the Bas Rav Chisda, said, I hear her making shvuas all day long that are not true. And that's why I know she's a dishonest person. Tosfos in Masechta Shvuos, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, Divrei Maskil Avil says, what she heard her mentioning Hashem's name all day long, and since in vain, and somebody who mentions Hashem's name in vain is such an individual, Maske Shem Shemayim Levatolah. A person who mentions Hashem's name in vain is a person who we can't trust as far as Hilchos Shvua. And therefore, because of that, I ask you to turn the Shvua around on the other person. Says the Gemara Zimnan, there was another episode. Havyasu Kamei Papa, they were sitting in front of Rava, Papa of Rav Adabar Masna. I say Hushtar Gabei, and a certain document was brought in front of them. Amalei Rapapa, Yadana by the Shtar Prihi. Rapapa told Rava, I know that this shtar is already paid up and it cannot be used for collection. Amalei, Ike Inishachrina Bahadi Damar. Is there another person here that could corroborate that we could have two Edim? Amalei Loi. So Rapapa said no. So said Rapapa, said Rava to Rapapa, Afagav the Ike Mar, even though you're making this very strong claim, and of course you're Rapapa, the great tzaddik, Eid Echelav Klamhu. An Eid Echad saying something is insufficient, and I cannot accept your testimony. Amalei Rav Ado Bamasna, V'loy Hei Rapapa Kibhas Rav Chisda, why, when your wife said, and she was also one individual, why, when your wife said that somebody is not to be trusted, did you accept it? And why, when Rapapa said it, do you not trust it? So Rava said, Bas Rav Chisda Kimle Gaba. Rav Chisda was his wife, and I know that whatever she says is 100% accurate. Mar, like Kimle Gaba. Rapapa, I don't know his status, and I can't be sure that what he says is 100% to be relied on. And therefore, I didn't just accept what he said. Amra Papa. So comments Rapapa. Hash the Amma Kimle Begave Milsihi. Now that we've established that if somebody says something, if somebody we know is 100% accurate, then we accept what he said. Kagoin Abba Mari Bari. Somebody like Abba Mari, my son, the Kimle Barai, that I know where everything he says is 100% accurate. Karana Shtar Apume. If he tells me that a shtar is brought to Beis Din, and he tells me unequivocally that he knows that that shtar has already been paid, I'm going to rip up the shtar, even though it doesn't look, even though I don't have any other corroboration. Ask the Gemara, Karana Salkadatach. Yes, he has very high level of trust in this individual. But are we going to rip up a shtar based on one individual? Says the Gemara, he didn't mean that I'll rip up the shtar. What he meant to say was, Marana shtar apumei, I'll disqualify it, but I can't go as far as to rip it up. So the question, of course, that Rav Moshe and many others discuss is, Gemara says that Rava was more prepared to accept what he heard from Bas Rav Chisda, his wife, than what he heard from Rapapa. Is that understandable? So says Rav Moshe, of course Rapapa was greater than the wife of Rava. But what he meant to say was, his wife, he had experience, that he had tested many times his wife, and he saw that she never said something which was not true. Rapapa, even though, of course, he has a cheskes kashrus, and even though Rapapa was the great Rapapa, he never had any personal experience with him. And therefore, since he had no personal experience with him, even though he's a great person, but we know an Eid Echad is somebody that we can't trust, and therefore he was prepared to accept his wife's testimony more than he was prepared to accept his his own, his Rapapa's testimony. So I saw the Rav Shriver going and Rav Hai going say that when it says Basar Chizda Kimla Begavai, doesn't mean that she doesn't lie and Rapapa doesn't lie. What he meant to say was, and this is very much similar to what Rav Moshe said, that not only do I know that my wife doesn't say something which is not true, because of course he says two points, and Rapapa would say something that's not true. Why would we trust her more? Because she's not a liar and he is a liar. What he meant to say was, I not only saw that my wife doesn't say something that's not true, but I saw my wife tested. I saw my wife tested by, in cases where it would be to her benefit to say something which is not true. And even though she was tested, and she could have saved herself by saying something which is not true, she didn't do so. That is a very, very strong proof of her character. Says the Gemara, there was a woman who was mechuy v'shvur in the Bezdin of Rabbi Bar Abaya. Amlu abaldin. So the person, the other party, said to the Dayorim, let her go make a shvua, but she should make the shvua in the city where she lives. Why? In the place that she lives, she is going to be more embarrassed to say something which is not true. Amalhu. So the woman said, please write to me. Okay, you're saying a claim that the shvua should only be made in the city where I live. So please write that on a document. Kasvali zechusa, write for me a psak, the chemishdanne, that when I will swear back in the city where I come from, yavali, you'll give me back the shtar. Amalar pepe abeya, so Rabibi Barabai said, kisvala, she's making a fair request, do it. Amar papa, so her papa said, mishum dasam maloi, because you come from maloi, Amrisa Milsa, Amrima Milya Mayosa. You're saying foolish things, says the Gemara. So there's a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. What is Osman Bey Miloy? Rashi explains they came from Beis Eli, and we know that the Beis Eli died early. Another pshat is that they, your people that are not well people, and you don't live, that didn't live long. So the people that were cut off, your words were cut off. Another pshat is that they came from the city of Meloi, and he said it's interesting that you come from the city of Meloi. Meloi means something that's cut off, and what you're saying is cut off. So Rashi, we explained the Gemara like Rashi explained, that this woman wanted Bezdin to write a document supporting her claim. Tosfos says that she only asked that now this shtar, which they were having a dentara over, should be left over by a shlish. It should not be left by the person who making a claim against her, nor by the other side. It should be left by a third party. So again, says the Gemara, Amra Papi, Mishum da asir la memeloi, because you come Maloy, you said milimal, you said foolish things. Hamarava, hiya shart the diner. If we have a shtar, we spoke extensively at the beginning of a masechta about kiyum. So we have a shtar that Bezdin writes on a shtar that this shtar was certified. The michtav mekaved to have a sadech simus yadayu. Bezdin wants to write the nusach of the kiyum before Adam come and testify that their signatures that are on the shtar are correct, psula, becomes that certification becomes disqualified. Because why? Mechsa kashikra. Because how could you write? We explained that what is the nusach that's written in the Kiyum shtar. But Maisav Tlosa Havina, we sat as a group, and Adam came and testified to us that this is their signature. And if it didn't yet happen, it's something that's not true. And you can't write that way. Hachinami, this psak that you want us to write is not Mechsi Kishikra, because she hasn't sworn yet And therefore, before she swears, we can't accept any testimony to that effect. V'leisa. Says the Gemara, this halacha that we shouldn't write the kiyum in such a fashion is actually incorrect. Damar Rav Nachman, I'm a hayra meya, afila matzba ashba. Even if you find a document, a get, in the garbage dump, v'chasmu v'nasunla, and it says the name of the husband and the name of the wife, as they are true, nasunla kosher. And we don't have to be concerned. So here too, this whole concern is overblown. So we learned again the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi, the Rabbeinu Yoina explains why is it called a sharta? Because a sharta is an abbreviation for shrinu v'kaminu kidchazu. V'afil Rabbanan, says the Gemara, even the Rabbanan who disagree with Rameyer and hold that if you find a get, you can't just rely on it. Loi pligle Rameyer, don't only disagree with Ramey in that case, ela begitin noshim. Only when we speak about gitay noshim, because as we know, when it comes to the writing of a get, there are very many particular halachas. The halacha is being ksiva l'shma. We need the get to be written properly with the names and should be written specifically for this man and this woman. Al b'shtar shtaris, by all other types of shtaris, my delay. And we're not worried for mechsa kishikra. If you have a shtar that says somebody borrowed money, upara, and then you paid it up, and now you want to use the same shtar because it's the same two individuals borrowing, doing this loan. You can't use it again. Why? As we often discuss, when a shtar is written, what happens is all of the loiva's assets become mortgaged to that loan. And that mortgage begins at the date of the shtar. So when a shtar is paid up, so that mortgage that exists on all of the assets of the loiva ends, expires, because he paid it up. And now, if we're going to have another loan, even though it's the same two individuals, and even if it's the exact same amount of money, but the date is the wrong date, because the date now is from when the second loan takes place, not from the time that the first loan takes place. And that's why the shtar cannot be reused. But what do we see? That the entire reason that the shtar cannot be reused is because nimchal shibudai, because it was forgiven, because of this shibud issue. Tama shikfa nimchal shibudai. Avo lemechsik shikra. But why shouldn't we be worried that it's not the exact loan that took place? It's a second loan, and therefore we should have a consideration of Mechsa Kishikra. Says the Gemara, that, like Hashinan, that hasn't been a concern in our Gemara. So we see that this concern, that you're saying that if something is written that doesn't look 100% perfect, is not a factor to be taken into consideration. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, Dafkid, Shev Marganisa, the Tsar B'Sadina. There was an individual who left 7 diamonds that were left in a package, Bei Ramasha Barbarader of Yeshua ben Levi, in the hands of Ramasha Barbarader of Yeshua ben Levi. Shachar of Masha, and Ramasha passed away, like pocket, and he didn't have a chance to tell his family that these diamonds don't belong to him. Aslo Kameder of Asha. So says the Gemara, the person who left the diamonds came to Rav Ash to Rav Ami with a dentira to say that these Yarshim are holding on to these diamonds, but these diamonds don't belong to their father. They belong to me. Asl Kameh Rav Ami. Amalhu, so Rav Ami said to them, Chada, the reason he told the Yusaimim to retire the diamonds. And he said to them, 2 reasons why I feel that this should be done. Chada, the Yadanabe Ramash Babrader Bishu Ben Levi, the Le Amid. I know that he wasn't a wealthy person, and since I know he wasn't a wealthy person, there was no way that he had 7 diamonds. Void Kayav Simna. The person who's leaving the diamonds is giving a simon, proving that he's diamonds. So Taisa says that if Masha was alive and he would say that these diamonds were his, he would believe. Because there's a chazaka, the komat shetachsiyad adam shaloi, that anything that I'm holding on to is mine, even though somebody can make a claim. How are you holding on to seven diamonds? Everybody knows that you're not a wealthy person. So how do you have seven diamonds? Because he could always say, I found them, I was given to, they were given to me as a gift. But here, the issue was that he wasn't here to make this claim on himself. So even though, says Tosfos, throughout Shas we know there's a concept, Taninan li Yisoimim, we make claims on behalf of Yisoimim. The only time we make a claim on behalf of the Yisoimim is where it's something that makes sense. In a case where it doesn't make sense, there we don't make claims that don't make sense. However, says the Rosh, if the entire issue in our Gemara, points out the Rosh, is because the Yisoimim did not make a claim, a counterclaim, a certain counterclaim that these diamonds belong to us. If they had made such a claim, that they, it would have happened. And what happened to Gemara was that this person died suddenly. And the Chasam Sofer explains, why is Rashi trying to say that he died suddenly? He says, because a person who's holding on to objects that belong to somebody else actually has a responsibility, explains Rashi, that to make sure that the people, that this kind of situation should not happen. Here what happened was everything happened so suddenly. He was given the diamonds and then he suddenly died without having an opportunity to tell his family that these diamonds don't belong to him. So the Gemara said, Rav Ami said to give back the diamonds was because I know that he's not rich and he gave a simon. So Taisa says, what would have been if he would have been wealthy? So Taisa says, just because he would have been wealthy doesn't mean that they would have wandered in Torah. What the Gemara means to say is, the reason that the other party wanted the Torah is because you have both reasons in their favor, If he wouldn't have both reasons in his favor, it would have been left as a suffix. Others disagree and say that if he would have been a wealthy person, then they would have actually won the Din Torah. Why it's the halacha? Here too, the Gemara stated that Rav Ami said, Yodanabe, Rav Ashia, I know Rav Ashia, the Loi Amid, that he's not a wealthy person. So I saw the Rishonim debate. What would be if he didn't know Rav Ashia, but there are Edim that come in and say that we know he's not a wealthy person? What would be the halacha then? Some say the fact that the Gemara indicates that the Dayanim need to personally know that he wasn't a wealthy person. Others disagree, and they say the fact that Edom will say that he wasn't a wealthy person would be enough. Then there's another machlokes Rishonim. What will be the halacha about the person, the mafkid, have to have Edom that he left these diamonds with someone else? Or could he win this Din Torah without Edom? Some say that he has to have Edom that he left these diamonds with somebody else. Other Rishonim say they doesn't need to have Edom. The fact that we have all of these circumstances pushing in this direction is the two reasons the Gemara indicated, that we know he's not a wealthy person, and the fact that he's given a simon is enough. So the question, of course, is that how is the fact that the diamonds are in a bag, seven diamonds in a bag, considered a valid simon? So Rashi explains, because there were two parts to his point. Number one, he said he knew the number, and even though it seems that a number itself, Tosfos points this out, throughout Shas is not considered enough of a simon, but here the number was also coupled with being able to say exactly how they were packaged. So when the person gives a simon and the simon also says how they were packaged, that's considered a valid simon. But says the Gemara, the Le'amaran, all of this is only applicable at the Leirog of Eye of Anafik Lahasam. That the Mafkid, the person who left the diamonds, doesn't go there all the time. Avarog of the Eye of Anafik Hasam, if he's there all the time, Ema, in a Shechrina Ifkid, we have to be concerned that somebody else was the one that left the diamonds, and he dishonestly saw what happened, and now he's coming to make this incorrect claim. Who gave the Ifkid Kasa the Kasva Bechasa? There was a person who left a silver cup in the home of Chasa. And Shaf Chasid v'lai pocket. And again, as the Gemara in Masechta Yevam says, that Chasa died by drowning. So it was a sudden death, and he did not have an opportunity to tell anybody what happened here. Also, Kamed Rav Nachman. And here too, we have a dispute. The person who left the cup says it's mine, and the Yashim say we don't know. Amalu, so Rav Nachman said, Yudanabe b'chasid d'loyamid. Number one, I know that your father Chasid, Chasa, was not a wealthy person. Void Kayav Simona. The person who's asking for the cup has a simon, Veloya Marin, and therefore he should be trusted. But again, says the Gemara, Veloya Marin, Adlairog of the Isle of Anafik Lahasam. If this person who's making this claim doesn't frequently go to the house, Avarog of the Isle of Anafik Lahasam, if he frequently goes to the house, Ema in a Shechrina Ifkid, we need to be concerned that maybe somebody else was the one that left the money, Viyumech Sechaza, and they saw what happened. Says the Gemara, who the Afka Taska. There was somebody who left an expensive garment, Bey Rav Dimi, Achvud Rav Safra. Shachar Rav Dimi Vrelai Pocket. And again, we have a situation where Rav Dimi passed away, and he didn't have a time, he didn't give instructions, what is the status of this garment. Asla Kamed Rabba. And here too, we have this entire in front of Rava, between the Yisaimim and the person who claims that this is his garment. Amaluhu, Chadad Yudani Bey Rav Dimi Dela Amid. I know that Rav Dimi is not a wealthy person, and he wouldn't have such a expensive garment. Void hakayav simon. He's giving a simon. Again, says the Gemara, v'loy moron el d'lerogu d'ayel v'nafik l'hosom. That this person doesn't frequent Rav Dimi's house. Avarogu d'ayel v'nafik l'hosom. If he frequents that house, eim inish achrina afkid, must be somebody else left it, v'yu mechzi ha'chazo, and he saw it. So the Rif and the Rosh both point out, why did the Gemara have to tell us the same story three times? So the Rif and the Rosh say, because when the Gemara wants to show that this is definitely the halacha, so the way the Gemara expresses it is by giving us the same story so many times and seeing and showing that every time it was the same psak, that's a proof that this is indeed the halacha. It says the Gemara, Hu d'amal nechzer tovya. There's an individual who said, I'm leaving all of my assets for Tovya. Shachiv, and that person passed away. He says that Vasa Tovya, and a person whose name was Tovya showed up, and he says, everything should be given to me. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, all right, but Tovya. He said that he's leaving over everything for Tovya, and Tovya showed up. And therefore, even though, as the Rosh explains, there is another Tovya in the city. Since this Tovya showed up, we have no reason to assume that there's any other Tovya that thinks that this money belongs to him, and we'll give the money to this Tovya. Amar Tovya, says the Gemara, if he said, I'm leaving my assets for Tovya, Vasa Rav Tovya, and somebody who's Rav Tovya came, Tovya Amar, says the Gemara, we wouldn't give it to him, because he said, I'm leaving my assets for Tovya. Rav Tovya, loy Amar. And this person's Rav Tovya. And what the Gemara is saying is, somebody who's called Rav Tovya will not be, won't be labeled as Tovya. Tovya and Rav Tovya are not the same. Rav Tovya, but however, says the Gemara, if this Rav Tovya is a person who is particularly, he's particularly close with, then Hagispe, the fact that he's so close with him, so that's why he calls him Tovya, even though he's Rav Tovya. Says the Gemara, what happens to Alok of Asher Shnei Tovya? Two Tovyas show up. One is a Shachin, one is a neighbor, and the other one is a Talmud Chacham. So we don't know which Tovya did he mean. Says the Gemara, Talmud Chacham Kaidim. Says Rashi, even if the Tovya that's not the Talmud Chacham is his relative, and the other one is not his relative, still the Rav Tovya will prevail in the Din Torah. And Rashi explains, because If he were meant to give it to his relative, he would have said, Tuvia Krivi. But the Shita says that that's only if it's a relative who's not a Yairish. But if it's a relative who's a Yairish, then, of course, a relative that's a Yairish comes first. Karv v'tam t'chachem. Now says the Gemara, if you have two individuals, a karv and tam t'chachem, says the Gemara, tam t'chachem kaidem. Ibailu. So now, the two people that show up are shachin and karv. Which one goes first? Tashma, toiv shachin karv, ma'ach rachay. A neighbor is better than a relative. Shneim krivim. What about if they're both krivim? Shneim chachamim. They're both shchenim. Shchenim chachamim. So we don't know which way to pull this in Torah. Shuda the dina. So Rashi explains, toiv shachin karv, ma'ach rachay. The person who's a neighbor is a person that I'm relying on all the time. And therefore, since I'm with him all the time, I trust him more. What Rashi explains, Shuda the Dayanim, means that the Dayanim should try to figure out who did he mean, and that's based on their understanding, that's who will win the Din Torah. Taisa says it doesn't require the Dayanim to make that type of a calculation. Taisa says, Shuda the Dayanim means that the Chazal gave the Dayanim the right to pass in this Din Torah. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava Lebreid Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. Ta'emalach milsam ayosu dava amma ovuch. I want to repeat to you a wonderful Dvar Torah that I heard from your father. Hadam Shmuel, Hamoich Ashtar Choyv L'Chaveri. A person could sell a shtar, V'chazul Mochle, and then the Malva is Moichel de Loiva, Mochel. The loch is that he could be Moichel de Shtar. The question is, how could you be Moichel de Shtar if you sold it? So all the Rishonim bring the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam explains that every shtar, there's two elements. There's a shibud on my assets that I have to pay you back. I borrowed something from you, I have to pay back. And there's a shibud haguf, a personal shibud. When I sell a shtar, I sell the financial shibud, but I don't sell the shibud haguf. And that remains, and that's why you could be meichlet. So again, ha-meichel shtar choyv l'chaveroi, v'chazroi machle machle. Says the Gemara, v'afil yorish meida ma'alcha. Not only could the malva be meichel, but even a yorish could meichel. However, says the Gemara, meida Shmuel, that if Shmuel does agree, v'machnesa shtachoyv l'bala, if a woman gets married to her husband, and she brings assets into the marriage, and one of those assets is a receivable, that the halacha is v'chazroi machle soy, and then she is meichel, ain't a machel. Once she brings into the marriage, so everything that she brings into the marriage, the husband takes control over. And since the husband takes control over it, everything, it's his shtar, it's not her shtar anymore, it's not hers to be Michael anymore.